The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
Now, we generally recognise the causes and treatments for those suffering from eating disorders, but what about those who are victim to what's called emotional eating? Joining me now is Harriet Parsons, a psychotherapist and training and development manager at the Eating Disorder Association, Bodywise. Harriet, good morning.
Morning, Pat.
What is emotional eating?
Well, simply put, emotional eating is when we our emotions cause us to eat in a certain way. So it's when we try to manage how we're feeling through how we're feeding ourselves.
And what would be typical?
Well, I suppose probably what comes to mind is overeating or binge eating. But really, you know, you can think of it that we all, to a certain extent, engage in emotional eating because how we feel affects how we feed ourselves. So the kind of emotional eating that we probably think about is when a person overeats or when a person eats mindlessly or eats more than what they would have wanted to eat, or maybe even
is it accompanied always by a regret? You know, I've done this, I've finished that box of chocolates and I only really wanted one chocolate, but it was there, it was open beside me and I kept eating.
Yeah, because I guess when we think of emotional eating, we probably have the connotation that there's something wrong with it, that there's something destructive in it or something, you know, pathological in some way in it, that it's not normal eating. I suppose the way I would like to think about it, or the way I try to explain it to myself, is that if you think of eating on a spectrum and you have kind of normal disordered eating or normal emotional eating, that would be everybody from time to time eats things because they're feeling a certain way. Where it starts to get problematic, or where the tipping point is when the eating behavior becomes compulsive. So when we might say the emotional eating becomes compulsive, and by compulsive, what we mean is that the person doesn't feel that they have a choice about it. They're not consciously necessarily doing it, or they feel like they have to do it, or something is making them do it. So it's not consciously sitting down and saying, okay, I really want to eat a pile of chocolate or whatever it might be. It's when they're doing it without being really aware that they're doing it.
So the idea of having a chocolate biscuit with your coffee every day and feeling you have to have it, that's okay.
That's
kind of normal.
That's okay. That's kind of normal.
But if you finish the packet of biscuits...
Well, if you finish the packet of biscuits all the time, and if you're not able to not finish the packet of biscuits, that's where you're getting into a problematic territory.
Now, is it possible that emotional eating might include emotional non-eating? In other words, eating nothing at all?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because your emotion is such that you can't face food.
Exactly. You can't face food. I mean, and again, a normal reaction to that might be after a loss or grief. People lose their appetite. You know, they're feeling so overwhelmed, they lose their appetite. And we don't really see there's anything wrong with that. But if that person didn't regain their appetite and continued to not eat as a way of kind of blocking or disconnecting from how they're feeling, then that's where we would start to kind of wonder, are they okay? Is there something else going on there?
Now, how do you cope with them? Well, first of all, how do you know yourself that you're a victim to emotional eating?
Well, I suppose you know because you probably have a question for yourself around why do I do that all the time? So it's that maybe regret bit afterwards, or you don't plan it and you find yourself doing it, or you find yourself in a pattern of doing it all the time. So in that sense, a person will start to have a question over the why do I keep on doing this? Why do I keep on finding myself in that situation? You might also find that you're not necessarily processing all of your feelings. And so things build up. And so suddenly you find yourself feeling overwhelmed and you respond to that overwhelm through how you feed yourself.
Now, do you include drinking in this emotional eating thing? Because obviously people use alcohol as a crutch all the time.
Yeah.
And it's very easy. You open a bottle of wine, you finish the bottle of wine, even though you know you shouldn't.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that part of this problem?
Yeah. I mean, it would be part of anything that you're taking into your body, or not taking into your body. And I suppose within that context, in the context of eating disorders, we would also include exercise in that as well. So people who over-exercise or people who compensate for their eating through exercise and can't not do it. So it's the imperative in it, Pat. It's like when it's the have to, the must, the should, that's where you start to, that's what I would listen for, to figure out, is this just normal or is this something that's maybe destructive or is turned into a coping mechanism for the person, but in actual fact is very destructive for them?
I mean, when you look at each of those things, whether it's exercise that might give you an endorphin high.
Yeah.
With food, it could be a sugar high.
Yeah.
And with alcohol, we know what alcohol does. It may give you an initial high followed by a low.
Yeah.
But all of those have chemical components.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we can't separate out the physical from, you know, when we're talking about eating disorders, there's a whole physical component as well. And people who binge eat, often people would describe after a binge episode, that feeling of a binge hangover.
Yeah. Interesting comment from Sean here. Just to ask, is emotional eating just an excuse? Because you never hear of someone emotionally overeating salads. They eat sweets and fattening stuff.
Well, I suppose when you're thinking about the dynamic of the eating, there's something about the forbidden, you know, or the idea of breaking a rule that can often be the satisfying bit of the eating. So when you think about somebody...
Also, I mean, you know, the sugar and the fat in chocolate, for example, it hits various parts of your taste buds.
Yeah, it gives you that, feedback, that positive feedback. Absolutely.
Now, if you decide that maybe I am emotionally eating and I'm not sure whether I'm disordered or not, what do you do?
I was thinking about that question. And I suppose the first thing to do is to think about your pattern of eating. Like, obviously, emotional eating isn't just an eating problem. It's an emotional. It's to do with how you're feeling. It's to do with your life and your sense of self. But we can't say, you know, we can't take out the eating part from it. So in order to understand the role that the eating is playing in your life, one of the strategies, and it's for all eating disorders really, is to try to establish a regular eating pattern. It's a very easy routine to remember. It's the rule of three. Three meals, three snacks, not going longer than 3 hours without eating. Because often hunger is the biggest trigger for binging or for binging and purging. So we want to try and help the person to establish a regular routine each day around food. Now, if you try to do that and that proves difficult for you, so if for some reason you're not able to do that, well, then there's a question as to what's going on there. And so if you find that really difficult, I think then at that point it might be about thinking, what am I actually doing here? And so then it's about awareness and it's about becoming aware of, you know, what's happening when my desire or that compulsive bit of the eating kicks in. So can I make the connection between how I'm feeling and my behaviours?
Can you do things like substitution, like persuade yourself, I must not have that, whatever it might be, that little treat. Instead, I will do what the supermodels do and have a large glass of water. Because that kind of maybe fills the space a bit.
Well, it might fill the space a bit, but I think human nature is a bit rebellious. And so when we set ourselves up with a rule like that, our human nature is that we often strive to break that rule.
To hell with it, give me the biscuit.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that you have to take into account that the food is not just food. So it's not necessarily about health in that sense. It's about that it's satisfying something within the person.
At what point do people need to go and get help?
Well, they need to go and get help when they really realise that they no longer have that control, or we could say that they aren't consciously choosing to eat the way they're eating. And they can't.
And people may not be putting on massive amounts of weight.
It's not really about weight.
Yeah.
You know, it's not really about that. It's more about how am I managing how I'm feeling. We know that people with eating disorders find it difficult to manage their feelings. So they find it difficult to know what they're feeling, express their feelings and regulate their feelings. And that regulation part is really key to the emotional eating. So they're using the eating as a way of regulating their feelings.
Are there resources within BodyWise to help?
Absolutely. I suppose we would have a binge eating disorder kind of self-help book, which is our most requested resource. We have, I mean, if we're talking about binge or overeating in terms of emotional eating, we have online support groups specific for that type of eating. And also all of our other supports, our helpline, our email, our other online support groups are all there to help people to think about, what am I doing? Where am I at? And if I feel like I can or I want to go and get help, how should I do that?
And it's Body Wise. Sometimes when I've heard it said, it sounded like Body Wise.
Yes, W-H-Y-S.
But it's not. It's W-H-Y-S, Body Wise.
Yeah.
And Harriet Parsons, psychotherapist and training and development manager at Body Wise. Harriet, thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.